From the pros to the amateurs, from high schools to colleges, Sammy's got you covered. Join Power Hour now on the Cure Brand Hotline. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Now, here's your host of Power Hour, Sammy Kincaid.
Welcome into Power Hour with Sammy Kincaid. I'm Sammy Kincaid in the Strike and Spare studio, and I have with me Devlin McKenzie. Devlin, how you doing over there?
Real tired this morning.
I know. I didn't bring us coffee like I normally do, and then I throw a couple of tough topics at him as soon as I walk through the door. So apologies early on.
We're frightened.
We're scared. Yeah. We're scared. What's going to happen? No coffee on the show this morning. But let's go ahead. We're going to end up talking some games. But right before we said, you know what? We got to get into the tough news. Because if we start out talking games, we're going to be talking games the entire hour. Sure. So, but we do have Paris Lawson on today. So that's pretty exciting. Have a little bit of NBA coming on later. So, but first off, let's talk about the situation with Tua. And just, it was frightening. That was very frightening on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, you saw him the Sunday before, just like the rest of America. You know, it's it's tough because in that Sunday game, I mean, him walking around stumbling after that hit, I mean, I don't think the guy would have passed a sobriety test, let alone the concussion protocol. It was just shocking to me to even see him out there on the field. And then for this to happen to him, I mean, it was scary.
Yeah, I saw an interview with Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills, who's actually come on the afternoon stretch. I heard he was on the afternoon stretch, I want to say, a few weeks ago, and it was with NFL Now. And he was saying that last Sunday against the Bills, so they have no-go criteria, and that's the fencing posture, which is what we saw on Thursday night, amnesia and confusion. Mm-hmm. And that he actually went into the locker room and did the SCAT test, which is the more intensive concussion protocol test, and passed it, and then even passed tests every single day leading up to the Thursday game. I just don't understand how, if somebody's stumbling around like that after that hit, and he's shaking his head trying to get the cobwebs out, how do you pass that extensive, I'm doing it with quotes if you're watching right. the stream, extensive test to be able to play?
That's the thing. You know, we're not doctors. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we talked about this on the afternoon stretch. At the end of the day, he passed, and he was cleared to play. I mean, he was cleared by, team doctors, and then, what is it, like, they use a doctor outside
of the... There's a neuro consultant that's down. They hired the neuro consultant for each team on game days, and there's also one up in the booth. So you have to have all those people in agreeance, and it's under investigation right now, and they that was one thing Dr. Alan Sills said that they would release the results after the investigation is finalized. But it's just, I'm really curious to see the results. And it's just, I mean, getting into the next point, it's just whenever you have the culture, the temperature of the culture right now, why take risks?
Yeah. It's one of those things where I still can't believe he played. I mean, truly, I cannot believe it. And then going back to my point, I mean, he got cleared. And we'll have more to talk about whenever this investigation goes, you know, through. I didn't really get a chance to watch much of Mike McDaniel's press conference, so I don't really know what he really had to say about it. I'm sure he was as frightened as all of us.
Because at the end of the day, yes, the NFL is a business. But you have to remember, these are people. That was my favorite thing about being the senior producer at UCF, was getting to tell the stories of the players and staff, because people forget that these are people first. Yes, they have incredible talent and whatnot, but you have to take care of them as people, or else they're not going to be able to display that incredible talent. And I think that's the big thing, that while, yes, he may have passed, I just, it's hard to watch as a person watching another person stumble around like that and say, oh yeah, that person's okay.
It's definitely not easy. I mean, it's, you saw Twitter. I mean, everybody else was freaking out about it. And, you know, prayers for Tua was one of the biggest, you know, things on Twitter. I do hope he's okay. But at the end of the day, you're right. It is a business. And if he's cleared to play, that's your franchise quarterback. That's your future. And if you want to win games and you want to win games now, I'm not surprised they put him in to play against on Thursday, just because, you know, it is that business aspect of it. it's hard to see as a fan, and I can't even imagine what Tua's family's going through, or friends back home, or even, you know.
Well, Mackenzie Milton, I covered him for a while, a long time, has basically his entire career at UCF, and he was one of the first ones that I saw on Twitter say something, and it's just, it's heartbreaking for that. Whenever you are sitting at home watching the game and you see a friend go down like that, that's really hard to, I can't even imagine. And Mackenzie as well had a very terrifying injury against USF, which people thought he was never going to come back and play, and he miraculously did. But I can't imagine being on the other side of that and being watching on TV, watching your friend go down like that.
I mean, that's like parents too. I mean, parents who have, you know, their kids playing football or are about to sign their kids up for football, see something like that happen and then are still like, let's sign my child up for this. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a child myself, but I can imagine that's a pretty scary feeling to have. And the NFL is going to have to go through a lot to really back this up. And if they're going to get Tua on the field within the next 2 weeks, they better have something to say about it, because nobody wants to see him on the field right now.
Right. Absolutely. And so that's my team. Let's switch over to your team. Another team that is really not reading the room right now. And that's the Celtics. Let's switch over to NBA for a second. And I mean, you got the whole situation where you suspend your coach for an entire season, but then you hire, or the interim, you don't hire, he's already on staff. The interim has a history. How do you hire somebody that has, what was it? I mean, it was about a decade ago. But whenever you have a situation going on like that, hire somebody with a clear background. Just don't even try to take the chance. He had an underage and aggravated assault, and then he had a domestic battery. He ended up settling with the female. But whenever it's cases like that, whenever you already have the situation going on within your organization, read the room.
Yeah, I mean, why? You know, it's so ridiculous. I don't even know where to begin. I swear, it's just, it's like they know I'm a fan, so they're like, let's just make Devlin upset. And
yeah,
hire
you got
the
Browns and the Celtics.
Yeah.
Devlin's having a hard fall, y'all.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. I don't know much of the background of it, but the fact that there is a background at all, like you said, what are you doing? Why? You've already got this going on with your head coach who just brought you to the NBA Finals.
You just said it. He brought them to the NBA Finals, and it's a business.
Right.
And you got to get back to, these are people.
Mm-hmm.
These are people. You gotta let go of that business side of it and handle what's happening in your organization, or else you're not going to get back, because you're not going to have the backing. You're not going to have the support that you had while you were going into the NBA Finals. So you got to handle things, handle the people aspect of it, get the culture back right, or else the business is not going to flourish like it was.
Right. I mean, thankfully, I'm sure that Celtics are thankful for it, but thankfully it's for them. It's not a major headline right now with this interim head coach, or at least I haven't seen it as being as big of a deal as it was for the original. But at the end of the day, it's still a topic of discussion
that
I don't think they had at all. I mean, if with a little common sense, you know, you'd think this is a pretty big deal that we have with our real, like our current head coach. We probably should have a clean slate for who we're going to hire as our interim head coach. It's unbelievable. It's just, it's a really bad time to be me as a fan of sports. I'm just really upset about it.
Well, let's switch gears to hopefully a little bit happier of topics for you, and maybe your bank account will do a little better today.
Doubtful.
Yeah. Still a bad time to be Devlin, but let's talk some college football. First up, let's talk UK Ole Miss, number 7 at number 14. They're both coming off 10-win seasons last season. Really have a very small margin for error if they want to be able to take the East or West, respective. And so this is a big game for both of them to really take today.
It's unbelievable. Ole Miss is a favorite by over a touchdown in this game. I was a little bit surprised by that. I don't really know what your thoughts on Kentucky are. You watch way more SEC football than I do. So you probably have way more background into both of these teams. I don't really know much about Ole Miss aside from the fact that, you know, who was the last quarterback they had? I forget his name. He just got drafted to the Panthers, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. But I really want to take Kentucky in this game just because they're a higher rank. That's about the only knowledge I have behind this game.
Well, their run is about 280 yards per game right now, mm-hmm. where Ole Miss is one of, I believe, four teams. It's Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, and Minnesota that are averaging 40 points and only allowing 10 points. And they're only allowing 108 yards on the ground per game. So I think that's where you're really going to see if Kentucky can run the ball against Ole Miss, I think Kentucky's got it. But if Ole Miss defense stands strong like they've been standing strong, this is going to be, I think, a close game.
Yeah, based on your research, which you've clearly done a lot more than I have on this, Ole Miss seems like they should be the heavy favorite in this because a touchdown favorite is a lot. I mean, it's more than I thought it would be for a top 25 matchup, especially a top 25 SEC matchup. A 7-point favorite, that's crazy. But, I mean, yeah, you definitely sold me. Ole Miss seems like the better team overall in this one.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think I led you the right way last week with not taking the over. So maybe I can go 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for that. You saved me a lot of money, that's for sure.
All right, we'll go a game that's not the SEC. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Works for me, yeah.
Number 9, Oklahoma State at 16, Baylor.
Is Baylor like a good team this year? I can't tell. Are they legit?
That's a great question. And it's really going to be a big first test for them. And last year, you got Oklahoma State coming up inches short in the Big 12 championship. So mm-hmm. I think Oklahoma State has a little bit more to play for. I like Oklahoma State in this.
Yeah, I think I do too, just because I've seen Baylor's loss. And I just obviously Oklahoma State's undefeated despite the teams that they played, which I'm not 100% sure on. I just don't like this conference at all. I mean, it's hard to tell if either of these teams are legit, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's only a 2-point favorite for Oklahoma State, I believe, in this game. I'll probably just take Oklahoma State in this one as well. I mean, two teams that I'm really not concerned will do much in the future of this season.
What about number 22, Wake, at number 23, FSU?
I like Wake.
Yeah?
I mean, where's this game at?
At FSU. At Florida State.
Well, what's the situation there?
You know, I really like Mike Norvell a whole lot. I think he's a great coach. I just think they got to get it figured out. I really like him, though. I was at UCF whenever he was coaching Memphis. And he just, how he spoke to media, because that's really the only time I dealt with him was at media days. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's a player's coach. Whenever the players were around him, they just really enjoyed being around him. And then even, I did a story on, it was Mackenzie Milton bringing him up again. It was whenever they were doing the Heisman campaign for him. And whenever speaking with Mackenzie and Mike, it was just mutual respect. And that's one thing that I think that he really gains from his players is that respect. And so I really hope that he does well. I really want FSU to win this one.
Yeah, you sold me. I mean, if the coach is a locker room guy, that alone is going to fire your players up, especially at a home game. Yeah, I'll take Florida State in this one.
All right. Well, coming up after this break, we have Paris Lawson joining the show. Decided to have her on, and you know, we were just talking a little NBA. Let's continue the NBA talk. All right, we'll be right back after this.